Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I mean, I just am amazed that anyone could write one book, and he just cranks them out. And the newest one is Faraday, The Remarkably Funny and Tragic Journey of Golf's David Faraday. And, you know, first blush, you might be like, well, is that rich enough topic? And then you learn about David Faraday's life, and it is kind of unbelievable. And the book just recently came out, and John Feinstein, the author, joining us here on Brian and Company. And yeah, Joey Burgoyne was just sad to say that you're not coming up for the Travelers this year. So we're glad to have you here now, though, but we'll miss you in late June.
Well, I appreciate that, Brian. I've always enjoyed coming up there, but not going to make it this year. Hope to be back maybe next year. Who knows? But I appreciate what you said about Faraday in your opening, because honestly, the hardest part in writing this book was deciding what to leave out, because his life is so remarkable.
Well, I mean, I don't want to give away too much, and I don't want you to either. I'm sure there's a ton of player-related anecdotes. Beyond the fact that he was a great player, I mean, there's one tournament
he
beat Fred Couples by five strokes in Freddie's prime. But, you know, from the marriages to, you know, obviously now a citizen here, to losing his son, I mean, it's just really an incredible journey. And I just, you know, I first and foremost, you know, why did you come to the conclusion that this was worthy of a book?
Well, I've known David for many, many years. I first met him when I was working on A Good Walk Spoiled in 1993. And we had become friends largely through the charity golf tournament that Tom Watson and I put on for years to raise money for ALS in the name of his caddy, Bruce Edwards, who, as you know, grew up in Hartford.
Right.
David would come and speak every year. He couldn't play golf anymore because of his many injuries, but he would come and speak at the dinner. And we'd become close, I would say. And the more I knew about him, the more time I spent with him, the more I thought, wow, this guy's story is a book. And I had actually been urging him for a couple of years, excuse me, to let me do it. And he looked at me one night at dinner a couple of years ago and said, okay, let's do it. And the most important thing in the research for me, Brian, was that David was so honest about everything. When we talked about the death of his son, when we talked about his drinking, when we talked about his use of drugs, things like that, he never backed away. He never said, I don't really want to talk about that. And that made the reporting so much easier for me, and ultimately made the writing easier for me, because I had all the material I could possibly hope for.
Now, this is your book about him. It's not like you ghost wrote it for him, correct?
It's a biography, and that was something he and I agreed on right at the beginning, that I could tell the story more thoroughly if it was written in the third person. It made it possible for me to interview his mom, his sister, his two surviving children, Rory and Erin, his wife, Anita, who played a crucial part in David's life and in this book. David says often that he wouldn't be alive if not for Anita. She rescued him at a point in his life when he was really in terrible shape. So I think the book is richer because it's a biography, not an autobiography, because I was able to talk to so many people other than David.
You know, as I consider myself kind of an ex-journalist, I don't really practice it in the same way that I would used to. We're talking with John Feinstein, and his new book is Faraday, The Remarkable, Funny, and Tragic Journey of Golf's David Faraday. Of course, the audio book, by the way, or is it the audio book or Kindle? Like, both, there are two titles that are ranked right now. Is it the audio book that's doing really well, too? I think I saw that. But
the honest truth is I never look because I feel like I'm going to jinx myself or upset myself. So
yeah, no, I think the audiobook is doing well. But what I wanted to ask you from a journalistic standpoint is, what if he wasn't so forthcoming and open, and there's something you wanted to put in and you have this relationship with him? How would you handle that?
Yeah, that would have been awkward. There's no doubt about
it. Could you have done it? Could you have put something in there that maybe he didn't want?
I'm lucky enough that I didn't have to answer that question, Brian. But it would be something I would discuss with him. Let's put it that way. If he had objected, for example, there's a story about him getting arrested briefly at the Masters because he was drinking and he was working for CBS and he was supposed to do a late night show and he drove his car while trying to park it onto the par 3 golf course.
Oh boy.
Needless to say, the police objected to that. He ended up in handcuffs, but Jack Stevens, the chairman of Augusta National at the time, said, oh, just let him go, because he liked David. People liked David. Now, if David had objected to that story, I would have said, you know, it's a part of who you were, and we would have gone from there. And I don't know what would have happened. But again, that was never an issue, because David's approach was, we're going to tell the whole story. He didn't hold back on anything.
Well, we're talking with John Feinstein, and the book is on David Faraday, and you can find it on Amazon. I don't want to give away too much, but do you learn much about some of the players that he's had to deal with over the years? I mean, you talk about it, I see in the blurb, you know, goes from, you know, Payne Stewart all the way through Rory McIlroy with, you know,
right,
Tiger in between.
Yeah. You know, he beat Payne Stewart in the Ryder Cup in the singles in that famous War by the Shore, and you mentioned what a good player he was. Some of the most interesting stuff was his relationship with Tiger Woods, because David, when he first worked for CBS, walked with the last group on Sundays. And during that period, 1998 onward, Tiger was in the last group a lot.
Right.
And David was one of the few people Tiger actually liked. And David's theory is because he never wanted anything from him. So many people want things from star athletes. And Tiger would tell David dirty jokes. He nicknamed David Farty because they used to have farting contests, believe it or not, while Tiger was trying to win a golf tournament. And David allowed me to see a side of Tiger that I don't think many of us have ever seen, that he actually does have a sense of humor at times. And of course, he's very close to Rory McIlroy, who grew up 5 miles from where David grew up in Northern Ireland. David grew up during the Troubles. He was born in 1958. Rory was born in 1989, so they didn't cross paths then, but they grew up 5 miles apart in Northern Ireland. David grew up during the Troubles there.
Well,
but he's very close with Rory McIlroy.
Well, interesting you say that, because of the current dynamic. McIlroy has sort of tempered things a little bit, but he's been very vocal about the PGA versus the LIV Tour. And if people don't know, the LIV Tour is Saudi backed and has lured away with multi-millions of dollars a ton of the top players in the world, and Faraday now is working on that side of it. And so I'm not sure he and Rory are on the friendliest terms now. I don't know, but I mean, he's not going to say anything negative, but because he's getting paid a ton of money. But how do you think that's going?
Well, you asked two questions there. I'll try to answer them both quickly. Rory and David's friendship has not been affected by his move to LIV, because David, unlike so many of the guys who moved to LIV, has been honest about it. He said, I did it for the blanking money. He's being paid a ridiculous amount of money to work on the LIV telecast. And Rory understands that. He may not, he's like me in that sense. I may not like it, but I understand it. And as far as where LIV is going, it's very much still up in the air. Their TV ratings here are terrible. I think they need to change their 54-hole format, which would mean changing the name, because LIV is Roman numeral 54. But I do think eventually the LIV Tour and the PGA Tour are going to have to find a way to come together, because you've got to have the best players playing each other. And the one thing we know is that the Saudi Arabians are not going to run out of money.
Yeah. I wonder, you know, I'm just thinking aloud, we only have like 30 seconds, but the team format's not compelling to golf people, right?
So no, the only not at all.
Right. So maybe there's a way to do that, you know, here and there. On maybe if they combine, you could make sort of LIV events, those types of things. But just them winning more money together, nobody gives a hoot about that. And outside of Ryder Cup and stuff like that, the team doesn't work in golf. I just wonder if they'll figure that out.
I wonder too, because they're very, very determined to push this team aspect. And what I wrote in the book was what you just said. There's only one team event in golf that matters, and that's the Ryder Cup. All the others are copies. They're notably the President's Cup.
Yeah, listen, John, congratulations on the book. We always appreciate the time and the insight, and you know, maybe you know, there's been some doings at the University of Hartford too. Maybe we'll catch up on that at some point in the future.
That sounds good to me. Thanks, Brian.
All right, John Feinstein, the book, Faraday, The Remarkably Funny and Tragic Journey of Golf's David Faraday.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.